one class is just a fun class. So, especially after the hell class. So, you know, I put this one into the curriculum. This is just sort of a break, okay? And then the last two classes, you should try to come, because that's, we'll do the death meditation from Tsongkhapa's Lama Chimbo, which is one of the greatest presentations I've had. So today is just for fun, okay? You still have to learn it. Say Kalpa.
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 You know what a Kalpa is, right? I mean, Kalpa means, people translate it as eon. Okay. And I just thought you'd like to know how long a Kalpa is. Because they're always mentioned in Buddhist scripture, time is always reckoned by Kalpas, and nobody ever really figures out what a Kalpa is. Now, a Kalpa seems like a long time. I don't know, how long is an eon? I don't know. Paleolithic.
A million years
or something. I don't know. Okay, so in Buddhism we have four different kinds of kalpas.
Actually more.
This is also from the third chapter of the Abhidhamma. And this is just a little piece of a long chapter on the measurement of time down to microseconds and up to light years, and then the measurement of space down to subatomic particles up to galaxies. It's really cool. Someday you should study the whole thing. We can't do it in this class. We don't have time. Say Jigpe.
Jigpe.
Kalpa.
Kalpa.
Jigpe.
Jigpe.
Kalpa.
Kalpa.
Jigpa means destruction. So Jigpe Kalpa, the first kind of Kalpa, is the eon of destruction. This is a period of time which is marked by, you could say, four different things happen at the same time. At the beginning of the Jigpe Kalpa, at the beginning of the eon of destruction, it's marked by a certain karmic event. No more beings take birth in a Vichi. What's it? Vichi is Narme. That's the lowest hell. That was that hell, hot hell number 8 that we described on Saturday. So, all of a sudden, beings stop taking birth in a Vichi hell on this planet. Okay? If you were supposed to take birth in a Vichi hell, when you die, you take birth in a Vichi hell on another planet. So anyway, this planet is getting ready to die. And there won't be time for it to die if someone takes birth in Avicii Hell, because we stay there so long. So long before the world, the physical world ends, that birth has to stop. People have to stop taking birth there. So we're talking millions and millions of years before the end of the world marks the opening of the eon of destruction. And the sign is that people stop taking birth in that hell on this planet.
Now, do people still have karma where they do get born into this hell on a different planet?
Yeah.
Or is there,
yeah.
Well, it's not where the collective karma of everyone is.
No. Well, in a way, it is that also. But it's the collective karma of everyone on this planet that hell is starting to finish. But the Avicii hell on another planet is still going fine. Mm-hmm. How does it get there?
It's people's bad deeds, right?
No, how does a being get from planet Earth to Vardha? Vardhas have the ability to fly. They can move quickly. They can move at almost the speed of mind. And they can reach, they can reach the other planet, I believe. Second event, people's lifespans reaches 80,000 years. People live for 80,000 years.
People like us?
Yeah. Human beings. On Zambaling, okay, on the southern continent. It's the end of the eon of continuation. And we'll talk about that. I mean, we're going to reach that eon. Yeah, it's another kind of kalpa. Yeah, it's called a kalpa of continuation. We didn't get to it yet. But anyway, that one's ending, and which one is opening? Of eon of destruction. So these four events take place at the same time. This is the very beginning of the destruction kalpa, the eon of destruction. And then other events start to happen. All the animals and the pretas, all the animals and the craving spirits on this planet, people who are supposed to be born that way, start taking birth in another place, in a different place, on a different planet. These are four events that happen at the same time as the eon of destruction begins, as it opens.
Okay. So they're happening in a previous eon?
Relative to us now, yeah. Okay. But, you know, it goes over and over and over and over again in many different galaxies. We're not, our Jigme Kalpa is already finished, the last one. Okay. So the animals and hungry ghosts, whatever you want to call them, they die and take birth on other planets, if you're supposed to take birth like them. And then human beings begin to reach the first concentration level. And we talked about that in the very first class. So they start to gain, one human being automatically, by a karmic process, gains the ability to enter into the first concentration level. And then as a result of that, he's born into the first level of the form realm. But before he's reborn, he tells other people about how to get into that meditation, and all these humans on this planet begin moving into that kind of meditation and moving into the first form realm. So basically, the human realm is emptied out also. If people are going to hell, they're born in hells on other planets. Otherwise, they die and move into the first part of the form realm. So the desire realm is emptying up.
Yeah. If they're going to the form realm, aren't they also going to hell then?
After that, they'll be on another planet.
That's after the eon of destruction is finished?
This is still while the eon of destruction is going on. All the things I'm mentioning, all these things starting to happen, like beings aren't born in the hells on this planet anymore, they're being born in other planets' hells. And then animals and hungry ghosts die. People who are supposed to be born that way are being born on other planets. And then the human realms are emptying out because people are attaining the first concentration level in this life, and as a result, taking rebirth in the form realm. And like that, eventually the first form realm empties out, people learn how to do the second concentration level, meditation, and then the first form realm is emptied out also, the first form realm level. So the whole desire realm is empty now, and the whole first form realm is empty also. There's no more beings in the hells, no more beings and animals, no more pretas, no more humans, no more desire realm pleasure beings. They've all died and either died or they've been reborn into the second or higher parts of the form realm. So basically, think of the earth as emptied out. Not yet. That whole process of clearing the earth out of sentient beings, you know, sentient beings leaving earth, takes 19 intermediate eons. It's the same part as in Pardo, meaning what?
In between.
In between. So this is, I call them intermediate eons. Kala is short for Kalpa. So Parkal means an intermediate eon. This process of the desire realm emptying out takes 19 Parkals, 19 intermediate eons. How long is an intermediate eon? We'll talk about it later. Then comes the last Parkal. There's 20 Parkals, the 20 intermediate eons in a destruction eon.
What did you
say, 19? 19 for all those beings to go to other places. Okay. And after they're all safely in other places, you can guess what happens then. They say that the sun begins to supernova. And they describe the heat of the sun. And scientists have seen places where the suns divide and they form two suns and like that. So it's like the suns are supernova of our sun. So it's splitting into more than one sun. Like if you went out on the first time that it split, there'd be two suns up in the sky. Like the heat of them. And they say, first of all, at the end of 19 intermediate eons, as the 20th intermediate eon is beginning, the rain stops on this planet, on planet Earth. Rain stops falling. All the rain stops. So that the vegetation and the forests of Earth dry up. Then the second sun rises in the sky. The sun supernovas, and a second sun appears in the sky. And then all the smaller bodies of water dry up. Then a third sun I mean, the appearances between the suns is like millions of years. A third sun appears, and that dries up all the rivers and streams on Earth. Then a fourth sun appears, and all the lakes, like there's supposed to be some things called the Great Lakes, like in Michigan, they all dry up. All the huge lakes on the Earth dry up. Then a fifth sun rises, and the outer sea dries up. That's that huge sea outside the last of the concentric mountain rings. Dries up completely. Then there's a sixth sun rises, and the four continents and Mount Meru go up in a puff of smoke. Just one waft of smoke and they're all gone. And then seventh sun shines and the whole world burns up. The whole physical world burns up. That conflagration triggers a similar conflagration in the first level of the former, and that burns up. Okay. The first part of the former burns up. The beings are already in the second level. Whatever ones are left are in the second level. There's other kinds of destruction kalpas where the whole process takes place through floods and water. And there's also destruction kalpas where the whole process takes place through wind. And then they get into minor destruction kalpas where the people on planet Earth destroy each other with weapons, or they set the whole Earth on fire with some special weapon, and things like that, or famine. And they talk about that. Yeah?
How can
there
be a formal when there
is? There's still a physical form realm above the design realm. There's a physical place, very subtle forms. There are mansions there, you know, like divine mansions. There are parks. There are beautiful places like that. You can't see them. They've already learned to do the meditation on the second concentration level. And because of that, when they die, they've already been reborn into the second level of the form realm. The second and third levels don't get destroyed by fire. When there's water, that's another story. We'll talk about it some other time.
There's no being here at all. There's no one to give any projection to.
Buddha? That's a good point. Buddha sees it. Yeah.
Is this the only way we can become reborn?
I don't think so, because the Buddha, before the end of this world, went to visit his mother or his father. I don't remember his name. Mother? On another planet. And the day he came back is a Buddhist, is one of our six major holidays during the religious year. It's called Habak Duchin. Okay, so that's the eon of destruction. We'll talk about it. Better.
Same.
20. So far we have 20 intermediate eons. We don't know what an intermediate eon is yet. But we have 20 so far. Say Chakpe.
Chakpe.
Kalpa.
Kalpa.
Chakpe.
Chakpe.
Kalpa.
Kalpa.
Chakpa means formation eon, formation of the world. It also goes on for 20 parkas, for 20 intermediate eons. And in the first of those, in the very first one, the world forms. Like, there's that very gentle energy starts to swirl in empty space, and then it gets stronger and stronger until the physical world appears. So Mount Meru, the four continents, and the basis of the world is created during the first parkal, during the first intermediate eon, inside an eon of formation. Then the first beings start to take birth in this planet. And it's really, they sound really beautiful. I mean, in the Abhidharma Kosha, and later on in this chapter, they describe it. It sounds very much like the Garden of Eden. And people are taking birth there, and they have their bodies have their own light. Like the sun and the moon don't necessarily have to be there, because their bodies produce their own light. They have the ability to fly in the sky. They're very gentle. the whole planet is made of some kind of stuff that you can just lick it and you can, it'll feed you. And it's like a Garden of Eden. And then they slowly start to collect bad deeds and their bodies start to change. And you know the rest of the story. And at that point, human beings live same age.
How is it different from a four-realm paradise, the first?
I guess they still have desire for smells and tastes. If you have desire for food, you're stuck in the desire realm. You can't get to the form. And that applies to your meditation too. I mean, if you're still attached to those things, it's very hard to put your mind into the form. You cannot actually during that time that you're thinking about food. You still have desire for food. You can't do it. And that's one of the borders that separates the desire realm from the form. It's like a wall. And you get over it by overcoming that desire for that one thing. Say it, seme. Seme. Seme means measure. Me means not. So seme means immeasurable. Like we have the four immeasurables, measureless love, immeasurable, you know. That's the same word. But here it refers to a specific number. And I looked all over the scriptures and there is that number. It's written somewhere, but I didn't have time to figure out how many millions of years it is, but it's a lot, okay? It's probably something like over 30 zeros or something, okay? I mean, the Abhidharma has a whole numbering system, and I didn't have time to figure out which one this is, but it's a lot, okay? It's many, many zeros. So the first human beings on this planet live for that many years. They can live for that many years. They live for millions of years. The lifespans. The formation eon ends when someone takes birth in Avicii. Okay? The forming of the world is over when someone takes birth in Avicii hell. And lifespans have dropped from seme all the way down to a measly 80,000 years. So when people only live for 80,000 years instead of millions of years, we know that the formation of the world is over. And the first being has taken birth in the lowest hell. Then that's the ending of the formation eon. The eon of formation is finished. That leads to the opening of the next eon.
So Michael, do these beings in this first formation eon have a better life than the first level of form eon?
They both have the six sufferings, you know? I mean, they're both, mainly, that's what makes this life unbearable. And they have it equally, at the same that we do.
The former of this.
That spreads to the former and the former. So they all have the six sufferings. It's not much difference. Slightly more pleasant, I guess. Their bodies are not quite as wondrous as in the former. And their minds are not quite as virtuous. As buzzed out, blissed out, as in the form of. Say nepe,
nepe,
kalpa. Nepe,
nepe,
kalpa. Nepa means to continue. So this is the eon of continuation. This also goes on for 20 intermediate eons. And the way it works is like this. Like lifespans start at its same. And they go down, 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 down. They drop because people have learned to do the 10 bad deeds. People have start learning how to kill, how to steal, how to commit sexual misconduct, and all the other 10. And because of that, the lifespans drop down to 10 years old. Like the average lifespan of a human being is 10 years. The Abhidharma later, it gives this very, very sad description of how that happens, and people are killing and stealing more and more, lying more and more, and then it creates disturbances in the world. People start to create powerful weapons. There are people living in huge cities all over the world, and some people are out picking berries one day when the cities decide to unleash their weapons upon each other. and the whole world is destroyed in this big fire. And then there's a few beings who survive because they happen to be out in the forest. What forests are left? They happen to be way out in the middle of nowhere when the weapons went off. And then they come back to the cities and find them totally destroyed, everyone dead. And they are overcome with some kind of grief. And they comfort each other. It's a very sad picture, the story, you know. And they, you know, a few straggling left people left over, and they meet each other, and they like hug each other out of love because they're just so happy to see another human being alive. And they decide, they have these meetings, and they begin to live in little settlements, and they decide that they'll give up the 10 bad deeds because they recognize the relationship between that and what happened to the planet. And then they start to grow again. Life starts to grow again, and lifespans, because of their virtuous behavior, they start to rise again. Like that. They go up to 80,000, and then people get non-virtuous again, and it goes through another cycle. They start to build up weapons, and they start to do that, and then eventually they kill each other again. And the average lifespan of that in those days is 10 years. And then they have those meetings again, and they decide to be virtuous again. And it goes on like that, in big waves, up to 80,000 again.
Yeah. So it's the idea that people are dying at the age of 10? I mean, so
average lifespan is 10.
So how do they have children and such, if that's the case?
I don't know. I think they don't. That's the very end. Like, people are, just before that, are living till 20, and they can have children, but their children die at an average of 10 years. So maybe there are some people around who still live to 20. But, and then there's four ways of being born, and there can be three other ways of being born. I don't know. They don't, I mean, this book is ancient. I mean, the third chapter of the Abhidharma is ancient, and there's not a lot of detail. Even in the auto commentary, there's not a lot of detail. And that's about all the detail you're going to get. There are other books on the Abhidharma that were lost. There were books that reached Tibet in the Sanskrit that were burned by the Chinese, and we'll never know. So we'll just never know. All we can do is try to find what's left. But most of the great books on Abhidharma were lost, even by Vasubandhu's time. So we don't know what was in them. That's good to look for them. So this goes on, and this period between, let me just make sure, from here to here, this is what defines an intermediate eon. So the time it takes for lifespans to go from 10 years up to 80,000 years and then back down to 10 is one intermediate eon. And that's how an intermediate eon is defined. So if somebody comes up to you and says, how long is an intermediate eon? What do you say? All you can do is explain this, because it's not like so many billion years or something. I mean, somebody who's a mathematician could maybe figure it out. How often do lifespans change? I don't know. I would say in recorded history of our planet, they haven't changed. We are in what's called the time of 100. And basically people live to around 100 years old. We're in a special period that Buddhism calls the time of the 100. And in the recorded history of our planet, that hasn't changed much. You know, from 40 up to 60 to 70 to 60 to 50. But basically, we're still in the range of 100. So I don't know. Lifespans haven't changed much. We have a slight increase right now from 30 or 40 to 60 or 70. But in this terms, it's not even, it wouldn't even show. It's just an anomaly, you know. I don't know how long it takes for lifespans to change. Bhujan Rinpoche, who came just before Jetson Kapa, tried to calculate it. And I don't remember what he came up with. It was billions of years or something. I mean, it's a long time. Okay, I don't know how long. And you'll never be able to tell exactly how long an eon is, a kalpa. But you could figure it out. If you were good with a math, you could figure out roughly how long it had to, that it had to be at least so long. Suppose that lifespans changed every 10,000 years or something, I don't know, from 10 to 15. But you'd have to get up to 80,000 and then come back down. Anyway, that's one intermediate eon. The eon, the kalpa of formation takes 20 of those. So the eon of formation, this cycle goes on 20 times. People blow themselves up 20 times before the world ends. And I, you know, the whole evidence that scientists have of carbon dating, we don't know that carbon acted this way 100 years ago. We don't know that carbon's going to act this way 100 years from now. We find traces of ancient cities. There's nothing to say that they're weren't other cities that traces were destroyed. We don't know. You know, you can't really say. According to this, I mean, the whole planet has been civilized and then destroyed 20 times. This first intermediate eon happens in half a loop, okay? What do you call these things? I don't know.
Wave.
Yeah. So the first intermediate eon takes only half a wave. But the drop in lifespans is slower, so it takes the same amount of time. In other words, the time it takes to get from here to here is the same time it takes to get from here to here. And they're both an intermediate, because this drop in lifespans takes less time. Sorry, it goes on more slowly than this increase and drop does. I mean, they're equal. The time is equal.
So the first drop is equal, is longer than the second drop.
Yeah, the first drop is some kind of millions of years down to 10 years. And that takes the same amount of time it takes to go from 10 years to 80,000 years and back to 10 years. So that this intermediate eon, which is only half a wave, but half of a big wave, takes the same amount of time as this intermediate eon that takes a full wave. There's 18 eons like that. And then there's a half a wave up. And that's number 20. So there's one intermediate eon that goes from millions of years life down to 10. Then there's 18 intermediate eons that go from 10 to 80,000 years to 10. And then at the end, at the very end, it takes another intermediate eon to get up to the last 80,000. From 10 up to the last 80,000. So that's the whole kalpa of formation. I'm sorry, continuation. It takes 20 intermediate kalpas like that. Yeah.
So where do beings like dinosaurs fit into this?
I have a feeling they're like right about here. You know, and our world is right about here.
Right. You know, but human beings are alive during dinosaurs, I guess.
I have a feeling it's no big deal.
Right. Now, what about obviously the idea of evolution doesn't work.
They wouldn't say that. Right. But given that things are empty, it's possible that things could happen like that.
Why doesn't evolution work with this?
Supposedly the first human beings take place through Dzogchen, they're just born here complete. It almost sounds from the description that they are beings who got left behind in the second form realm and then got reborn as humans, but that's kind of, it's hard to tell from the Abhidhamma. It's not quite clear.
You said the evolution of their karma?
Yes, it'd be the same thing. So if you take, there's another kalpa, this is the last one, I promise. Say Kalchen.
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 What's Chenbo mean? Big. Okay. This is a great eon. A great eon consists of 80 of these intermediate eons. One great eon is 80 intermediate eons. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, I left that one thing. What's happening over here? Yeah, which eon is opening up here now? Yeah, eon of destruction is opening. Remember, this whole thing, 20 eons long, was the eon of continuation. And then, at this point, the eon of destruction opens. And before it, what eon? What was right before here?
Formation.
Yeah, the eon of formation of the world. So the world forms, and then it forms for 20 intermediate eons, continues for 20 intermediate eons, and then takes 20 intermediate eons to get destroyed.
So then you have 60.
That's 60, and it doesn't quite, I mean, you can't say that the great eon is one and a half of those or something like that. Great eon is described in the Abhidharma as 80 of these. And maybe I think it refers to, but I'm not sure, okay, being around for four of these continuation eons.
Four cycles?
For being around during four of those continuation eons. I don't think it refers to 20, 20, 20, and then I don't know where the other 20 comes from. Yeah.
In the formation eons, is it the same wave pattern for that also? This 80,000 years going down to 10 years?
No. No, in formation it was just, what was it? It was going from, it was just the world forming.
For 20
years. And then the first human beings appearing.
But how do you define it? You're calling this an eon from this point to this point, so in that formation eon, how do you define
those
it?
Eons are defined by the length of these eons.
Huh?
The length that it took the world to form is the same amount of time that it takes this to happen. Okay. Just in artificially calculated. This is the definition of an intermediate eon. That's why I didn't give it at the beginning. Because it's just the amount of time it takes people to go from 10 years to 80,000 years to 10 years again. Now how long is that? No one's ever, to my satisfaction, I mean, I believe a couple of Tibetan lamas in the 1300s tried to calculate it, you know. But it's billions of years. So 80 of those is a great eon. And a great eon is very important for us. And I'll explain it to you. I think you should take a break first. And then we'll talk about... This whole subject comes up in the subject of how often do Buddhas appear in the world? And how long does it take for a Buddha to get here? And... You can wait a few more minutes then. Take a break and then we'll do it. Does Robin, you had a question?
Yeah, I just wondered, is this a model like the model that that you proposed, Kasamanu was proposing as a model of the universe? I mean, can this be taken
as
a temporal model, or is this meant to be literally the way?
Oh, you know what I think. You know, I think there's three different ways of people, and, you know, there's three ways of explaining why this is like this. You know, one, Vasubandhu didn't know anything, and they were just talking about Mount Everest and India, and didn't know what was on the other side. That's interpretation number one. You know, interpretation number two is that what was the second one? I don't remember. Or just that he didn't know anything, and or that this existed before the Buddhists. You know, that the Hindus thought this up from nothing, and that the Buddhists just accepted it and kept recording it in their books, you know. And then the third way of explaining it is just that Vasubandhu had the karma to see it this way, and it was this way. It was his projection of this way, and that we just don't have that particular projection right now. And it doesn't mean that somebody 100 years from now or 500 years from now will see the world in any kind of way that we do. You know, we think every generation has thought that they are seeing the world the way it really is. And every generation has been wrong because the next generation always sees it a different way. And it's not a... What is the world? I mean, that's to say, who are you? You know, are you a human? Are you a deity? Or are you a demon? You know, depends on who's looking. You know? That's your emptiness. And it applies to the world as well. There's a big lesson in the third chapter of the Abhidharma. You are empty. Your world is empty. Why does your world have to be like this? Why does it have to be like New York City? Why couldn't you be in paradise right now? You know, what prevents New York from becoming a Buddha paradise? There's a big lesson in the third chapter. You have to study emptiness. Okay. Take a break.
Did you say how long the eon of destruction lasted?
20 and 20. Se
de
changme
changme
sumla
sumla
sangye
sangye
de changme
changme
sumla
sumla
sangye
sangye.
De means that. That refers to a bar cup. What's that? Intermediate eon. Okay. Millions of years. Okay. Day means that. That means that bar cup. Trangme means countless. And in the Abhidharma system, that is a specific number. That number is called a countless. Okay? So yeah, how many times have I told you? Countless times. So 10 to the 60th power. It's 1 followed by 59 zeros. Six. 59. You figure it out.
10 pause.
10 to the 6. I want to figure it out. 59 or 60 zeros, okay? You can. I'm not very good at it. Alright. Soon means what? 3. Here, la means after. Do you know what sangye is?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I made a big mistake. Day doesn't refer to bar cup. Scratch that out. What's a kao chen? It's 80 bar cups. Okay. So I don't know. 4 trillion years, 5 trillion years, I don't know. I can't even guess. Somebody's got to figure it out. Something around there. Okay. This is like 5 trillion years, say. And then you multiply that times 10 and you put 60 zeros after that. Okay. That many years. 5 trillion times 10 to the 60th powers, at least, probably more. Multiply that times 3. And that's how long you have to, after you decide to become a Buddha, you know, after you decide to start trying, that's how many years it takes to collect the karma, to sustain that perception forever.
Whoa. The sutra system?
All the sutras say that.
What about tantras?
We'll talk about it. Okay. But I guess the whole purpose of talking about kalpas tonight, and the whole purpose why Vasubandhu spends so much time on it, is this. It's that it's supposed to strike your mind. You know, it's supposed to say, you know, this planet, I've been on a planet like this, it was the civilizations built up all over the planet, and then were destroyed, 20 times? In each 20 times per continuation eon, 4 of those is a great eon, and then for 10 to the 60th power of those, I have been on this, on a planet, trying to be a good person. Trying to become a good person. Yeah. That's how long it took the Buddha, studying emptiness, and studying bodhisattva activities. For that amount of time, in order to collect the virtue necessary to sustain the perception of being a Buddha, entering a Buddha paradise. That's the amount of energy it takes. The Jains in India, they don't believe it's even possible. They say, you can't. They say you can't do it. And they had a big fight with the Buddhists, because the Buddhists said, well, you can do it, but it takes this many years.
But how do you know where you are?
I believe that some scriptures say after attaining bodhicitta. I mean, the Abhidharma doesn't talk about that because it's Hinaya, but I believe that the Mahayana scriptures say after you get bodhicitta, after you've developed a true compassion for all sentient beings such that you would do anything to save them, you know, like that many years after that. Actually, it doesn't have to be that long. It could be like 7 lifetimes. And then the opening lines of the book of the Shantideva when he talks about anger. Did you ever read those? We in Arizona? Yeah. They say one instant of anger destroys the amount of virtue you could collect in one of these eons or something like that. Then the textbook writer, Sarah May, says, come on. If it were that way, no one would ever become a Buddha. But it's specific kinds of anger destroy the collective virtue of huge amounts of time. You know, one really good period of hot anger for 5 minutes, you know how it can destroy a relationship. you know, in 10 minutes you can destroy 10 years of relationship with the person. It's very similar with virtue. It burns it very quick. It's supposed to be very, very dangerous.
What kind of anger can do that?
They say specifically towards a bodhisattva. Who's a bodhisattva in this room?
Don't know.
You don't know. You never know. So it doesn't help. That's that? Bansan's mothering about something. Don't get angry. When do Buddhas appear in this world? Say Kalpa Sangho.
Kalpa Sambo
means Kalpa is Kalpa. Sambo means do you know what Sambo means? Like love song? By the way, anybody who got their vows on Saturday, I have your Tibetan names. I didn't bring them. We're gonna type them out on a piece of paper and have them on the weekend. But everybody's love song, okay? Especially what your second name is. Because you get your abbot's name. Your first name is always love.
So what the monks are called Thupten?
That was Rinpoche's ordination name. His novice name.
So why
did
you call them Thupten?
He just did it. I don't know. But I guess you can give him your novice name also. But that's an important name because that was granted to him by the 13th Dalai Lama. He was ordained by the 13th Dalai Lama. So that was the 13th Dalai Lama's name. So it's very lucky if you can get that name too. But that sounds better because it's Tsongkhapa. So Sambo means good or fortunate, or wonderful. So we are in the Kalpa Sangho. We happen to be in Kalpa Sangho. And you can read about it in the reading, but basically there are going to be 1,000 Buddhas appear in this Kalpa, in our Kalpa, the one that we're in right now. Where are we, okay? That pretty much I can tell you. That's pretty clear in the scriptures. So if this is 10 years, you know, and this is 80,000. They ask in the scripture, Do Buddhas appear during this period up to this period? You know, would a Buddha appear while things were getting better? You know, while people were getting more and more happy and things were moving along smoothly, like at work, like you never get renunciation until you have a bad day. They never appear during this part of the curve. They never appear in a planet during the first part of this. While things are going well, they don't appear in a planet. If this is 10 years, and if this is 100, they appear somewhere in here because things are getting worse. People can't practice Buddhism unless something disastrous is happening in their lives now. People aren't interested in Buddhism unless something really bad is happening in their lives. I mean, I remember one day a guy came to class. He just, you know, well-dressed, wealthy, handsome. He's actually a movie actor. And I was wondering, you know, how did this person get into class? You know, did this person have a personal disaster? What happened with this person? Why is this person here? You got to have some kind of...
Michael, are you saying that any people are just motivated by negative things? What are people motivated by positive things?
Well, it's okay, but mainly in Buddhism, it's by some kind of disaster. And it's either something in your life. I mean, very often, the people who are most serious are the people who had some very great tragedy in their lives. It seems to motivate you properly. And renunciation is the main motivation. At the beginning. So, anyway, the Buddhas only appear during the periods of renunciation, while things are bad. They don't appear during the upswing. They appear during a downswing. They don't appear so much during past this period. They don't appear in here. I mean, we are somewhere right around here, and we are close to this. We're very close. I mean, we are close to the destruction of the world, according to Abhidharma. I mean, it doesn't say, oh, 2004 is going to happen or something like that. I mean, you don't see that. If somebody says they see that, I've never heard of it in a scripture. But you can calculate. We are in the period called Selo Gyapo, which means we are at the very, very, very tail end of this intermediate eon. We are at the very close to the closing days of this intermediate eon. And there are five signs. So you could say pretty much that recorded history has been close to the, you know, what we know about history. Yeah.
You said there are going to be 1,000 Buddhas in this.
No, in the whole.
20 in the intermediate. 20 intermediate.
No, I don't know exactly. I think maybe more than one can appear during one bounce spin.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It must be.
I just wondered because we've had three so far, right?
Yeah, we have 997 to go. But maybe not before we reach here. I don't think so. I think in this eon, before this planet is destroyed.
The great eon.
Yeah, I think so. It's not too clear, but I believe it's a great eon. It's very ancient text, and it's, you know, it's hard to read and it's hard to say. I can't get up here and say, oh, this is how many years it is. I don't think anyone can.
These are called the five degenerations.
These are the signs that we're close to the end of the eon. the end of this swing. By the way, this is the five degenerations are very common. I mean, they often appear in Buddhist scripture. The explanation of them is very rare, and I finally found it in the computer by somebody named Chimjampiao, who's from the 13th century in Tibet. And he knew them and he wrote them out. So the first one is called time, life. Tse means life, like tsering means long life. So tse means life. And what it means is during these times, human life is very fragile. There are many diseases, there are many ways to die. You know, it's very easy to die in these times. Human body is very weak in these times. Is that nyomo?
Nyomo.
Nyomo we know, I think. No?
Mental
afflictions. Okay. Bad thoughts.
The same as klesha? No.
Klesha, yeah. Klesha is a Sanskrit word. It comes from a word klish, root klish. Klish means to bother somebody. And the definition of a klesha is a thought which disturbs your peace of mind. And the classic ones are the desire, hatred, pride, jealousy, greed, you know, stinginess. Those are the classic ones. In the five degeneration, it has a different meaning, though. It means that people who are not ordained, non-monks and nuns, will start to take no interest in virtuous deeds. Okay? They won't be much attracted to doing good things, to doing virtuous things. They'll lose their interest in virtue. People who are not ordained. We're going to get to the monks and nuns later, just as that, okay? Semchen, you know. Semchen means what? You know?
Great mind.
That's Chen, not Chen. Semchen means living being. It's what they always translate as sentient being. But here it has a totally different meaning. It means...
What do you say?
It refers specifically to our bodies. Our bodies are not well proportioned. They're not physically strong. They're not well coordinated. They're not the right. You know, they're all. Our physical bodies are not in very good shape during these days. The body of a human being is just not what it used to be during these days. No, that's duh. Tu means time, like Dunkor is called Chakra, for example. Tu means time.
But it's a code word for...
I don't know, you tell me a good word in English. Longcha. Longcha means the things which you live off of, like your house and your food and your crops. Mostly food, mostly crops in the sense that they are losing their ability to sustain life. The actual energy, the nutrition.
Commodity?
Like that. The nutritional power of food is becoming bad. You can eat all you want, but you don't get healthy. You know? The food itself is losing its power in these times.
Sustenance?
Like the ability to keep you healthy. it doesn't matter what you eat. You know, it's all the food in the world in these days has lost its vitality or something. You know, its ability to keep you alive in a healthy way. And the same with medicines and things like that. So I don't know. You could say food, etc. I don't know. What's the adjective for lousy? I don't like lousy. It's diminished, I guess. The power is getting less and less. And then Dawa, which means literally, Dawa means philosophical view, your worldview. But when the Dawa of the whole world gets degenerate, then it means that ordained people are not acting in the right way either. And these are the five degenerations. They're called Yingmangna. And they are Doa. Doa means spreading during this period here. We're on the verge of that, or we're already into it. And that's supposed to be a sign that the end of the Kalpa is close. They say that we're right on the borderline of people, you know, that we're very close to the days when people won't be interested in Dharma anymore. People won't be practicing. People won't care about it. And the first thing that dies is not the study. It's the putting it into your heart. You know, that dies first. So there's still people going to classes and learning all the words and the ideas and the concepts. But the putting it into your life has already died out. They say that will go first. So there'll be a period when people are just studying it, but are not putting it into their own lives. And we're on the verge, or we're into this time already. We're very close. So as soon as we go across that border from the point of people applying it to their own hearts, and to where they just start studying it, that'll be the beginning of the end. That's when the period of the five degenerations is already spread, and then that's the close of the eon. Then the eon is closing. We're very close to that. And life spans will dip under 100 years, and people will start to... And then we'll reach the part where, for example, the eon of destruction by weapons. And people will destroy the world with weapons. So we are here. We're on the border of it. We're on the edge of it. Or into it already. Something like that. So just the last thing I'll say, the thing about taking that many eons to reach Buddhahood, you know, and I mean, you don't, you know, you can read it in a scripture, but when you finally calculate it, it's pretty depressing, you know. Like, I think most of us had hopes of, in this life, we could do something significant, you know. But it turns out to be like one fraction in quadrillions, you know, like the amount of time we have in this life to try to be good is a moment in a billion years, you know, and it's almost insignificant. But in this world, we do have tantra, secret teachings. I mean, when I say tantra, if you don't know much about it, you think of dirty things or weird things. If you know a little bit more, you think of a long thing you have to recite. If you know a little bit more, you think about doing a few retreats, long retreats. And then there's a point beyond that, where if you really do all the things you're supposed to do, if you keep your tantric vows, if you do the retreats you're supposed to do, and if your Lam Rim study, if your scripture study is really, really good, and you're meditating and practicing daily in a very serious way, then it means a totally different thing. You know, then when I say tantra, it means something experiential, it's something that's happening to you, and something that's obviously the method now to becoming a Buddha in this life. And it does not relate to everything you ever heard about tantra. It's actually some kind of experiential thing where, because you've done the right things, in a good, steady, slow way, like the rabbit, you know, oh, no, the tortoise. you know, that after a period of time, as a necessary result of karma in this same lifetime, you are forced to enter a certain realm, and you can do it. And it's a choice, you know, you basically have a choice between trillions of years or entering that path. And when the time comes that you get a chance, you have to go for it. Like, you have to really get up the courage. It will take courage, and there will be some hard times. And it takes some kind of extraordinary level of belief and faith. But you take that leap, and then you actually can reach all those goals in this life. But it takes a lot of hard work and a lot of just normal Buddhist practice at the office and a lot of good meditation and study and service of your Lama. Very important. And then there'll come a time when there's a crucial time when you make a leap. And when the time comes, you have to go for it. And don't doubt it. And don't be wimpy. You know, just go for it. And it's either that or those trillions of years, basically. But when the time comes, you'll know. But you have to do this study very, very sweetly and happily and joyfully, and then it will come. The time will come. Yeah.
Will there be a time this year people can get?
Oh, he's bringing up the subject. Rinpoche is giving an initiation in August into the highest form of tantra, the highest form of the highest form of tantra. And if you haven't taken it, you can take it. You need some classes. And then you need, you need to have a preparatory initiation. You have to have initiation before that. So if anyone's interested, I'd say talk to John. Okay, because John is trying to organize the preliminary initiation, which Rinpoche has not agreed to yet. He's agreed to re-give the full initiation, but he's not agreed yet to give the preliminary initiation that you need to enter the full initiation. So if you're interested, talk to John, and then if we get enough people, we'll march down to Howell and take flowers and fruits and things and present our demands. So, but it takes usually a good group of people for him to consider it. So, I don't believe, I mean, in our lineage, you don't take an initiation lightly, and you cannot give an initiation lightly. And he did not give initiations for 10 years, I think. I mean, and he made us study for that long. And it's very bad to drop into New York and give 20 initiations and leave. You know?
I think. But when you hear the Lama say you take this for blessing.
As a blessing, maybe. But you have to take certain vows, and then you have to keep those vows. You have to know them, and it takes a long time to study. Anyway, so I can't say that I know. You know, not criticizing those people who do that, because I don't know why they do it. And I would break my first bodhisattva vow if I decided why they do it. I don't know why. But there's probably special reasons. Anyway, you want to take a gnarly age, normally you have to study for a long time. Rinpoche is very old, and I think it's wise to take it as soon as you can. So that's just my, you know, normally I'd say you shouldn't take it unless you're very prepared, extremely prepared. But on the other hand, to get it directly from him is incomparable. You can't get it like that. So I would, if you have any inclination, I would encourage you to. When he first agreed to give us initiation, somebody raised their hand and said, you know we'll never be able to keep this initiation. Why are you giving us this? And he says, well, you're going to go to hell anyway. So when you get to hell, you can say, you can stand up proud and say, I'm here because I broke my tantra now. I'm not like your other schmucks here, you know? You know, you're just here because you led a bad life. I'm here because I'm Roman. You can be proud, you know? So something like that. Somebody had a question? No. We'll do it. No, but seriously, it's very wonderful.
Down.